This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
First things first, congratulations. It has been 15 hours since the New York Knicks survived one of the craziest roller coasters you'll ever be on. And I don't know about you, and I say this as an IBO, I'm still shaking from last night. The emotions of being excited early. Ah, look at us. We came out. We dropped 37 in the first quarter against the Pistons. To then getting depressed as the Pistons rage back. To then saying, whoa, Mikal Bridges' layup line worked. They came out and had a great third quarter. Then there's a 13-0 Piston run. Then there's Jalen Brunson getting chanted at that he's a flopper. Calls overturned. Cat gets fouled out. They're down by 7. Brunson's a mess. And then, and this is all that matters because everything I just said is true. But then that man put his cape on again.
There's a reason he's the king.
There is a reason that the king said, oh, I'm 1-for-10 from the field in the fourth quarter. Oh, I'm dominating the basketball with my usage percentage at like 90%. It's okay, boys. Get on my back, and I will lead you for the third consecutive year to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Osiris Thompson, here's a pair of skates for you to wear.
Yes. That was, on every level, one of the craziest, most heart-wrenching. I'd be pissed off, then I'd be excited, then I'd be pissed off again, then I'd be excited, then I'd be relieved, then I'd be pumped up basketball games I have ever seen. Is that summed up well, Teak?
It was perfectly summed up. But that's exactly the frustration that the Knicks fan has felt this entire series. This game felt like this entire series. It felt like the Knicks are in control. The Knicks are running away. They're going to win this game by 25. They're going to win this series 4-1. The Knicks are the better team right now. And then all of a sudden, here come the Pistons finding a way to come back. And so you get this sense of relief, I think, more than excitement, to be perfectly honest with you. It almost feels like this Knicks team, while flawed, while disappointing in moments, just has this, I don't know, it's not the grit that they had last year, but there's a perseverance mostly generated by Jalen Brunson. And it's why when you have a guy like that, and it goes back to game 5, you can't be on the bench, man. This is that he showed why he can't be on the bench.
Yeah, no, in a way, you're right.
And like, so
it reminded you of the absurdity of that. Yes.
And so as I was watching the end of the game, in my mind, I'm just like, dude, all you had to do was be in the game last game, and we're not even having this game 6, right? And so it's the frustration, and I feel more relief for Knicks fans than I do exultation. You know what I mean?
You know, and I totally
it's
get
like,
that.
We escaped this one. We got by this Pistons team, which give them credit. They don't quit, man.
No, they're gritty.
They really don't quit.
They were getting punched in the mouth in the first quarter, and I thought for a second, wow, Knicks may blow them out. This may be easy.
No doubt.
And they responded at every turn.
But it happens. It's happened this whole series.
Yes.
So, I mean, credit the Pistons, but the Knicks, are relieved to get through them right now.
Yeah, you should be excited today. We have created a brand new rule here on Evan and Tiki that we will enforce for at least 2 hours. I can't say the entire show, may not be appropriate the entire show, but there's a word that we are banning here on this program for at minimum 2 hours, maybe longer. It's the C word, and that's the Celtics. We will not talk about the Celtics.
Who?
We will not refer to the Celtics.
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Exactly. Well done, Teak. And for the next 2.5 hours, because eventually we will have to use that inappropriate word, the C word, the Celtics. But for now, I think it is very, very important for the Knicks fan out there to not think about your future, not think about your destiny, not think about Monday night in Boston, but strictly think about what you just did. And what you just did is advance to the second round of the playoffs for the third straight year. And here's the other thing you did. And sometimes I say to you that not being a fan will give you a different perspective.
Right.
I obviously despise the New York Knicks. And trust me, this is going to go to a good place. And when you despise a team, you watch a game the opposite way Tommy watched this game. I watched this game the opposite way Gio watched this game. I watched this game as a hater. Let's go Knicks. I'll be the first to admit that. And let me say this with the utmost respect as a hater. I don't care. I do not care that Jalen Brunson was one for his first 10 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson puts the fear of God in me. Because I know what you know, what we all know, which is if you let that man and give that man enough opportunities, he's going to snatch your soul. And so I want to take you back to that incredible encounter when Thompson, who has done a great job, or as great of a job as one can do against Jalen Brunson in this series, mm-hmm. is matched one-on-one against Jalen Brunson. I want to take you through my mind as a hater to pay the respect that Jalen Brunson deserves on this Friday afternoon. Because, again, I'm coming from a different perspective, but I think a perspective you'll appreciate.
No, I get that, and I appreciate it as well.
Thank you.
And it's the first time I can say that J.B. Bickerstaff overthought it and probably made a critical mistake.
Well, the critical mistake was not doubling him.
That's what I mean.
Because
you've been helping, trapping, putting bodies on Jalen Brunson this entire series.
Yes.
And with 9 seconds left, you're going to say, all right, you got it, Asar Thompson. One-on-one, bro. It's all you.
And the thing about Asar Thompson is he's been great in this series.
He
provides that length, and he's dangerous.
Yes, but the most clutch player in basketball
yes.
right now, with the ball in his hands, with 9 seconds left, you can't put a second-year player on.
And
like
that is exactly what I'm thinking. So ball's inbounded. Jalen has the basketball. And I know that some Knicks fans didn't like that there was a lot of ISO ball. Well, welcome to the NBA. If you have a superstar who's like the modern Michael Jordan in the final 2 minutes of games, you're going to play ISO ball, and no one's going to complain about it today, right? No one's going to bitch about it? Okay. So ISO ball to Jalen Brunson. And I am standing in front of my TV now because this was scintillating TV. All right, hater, lover, doesn't matter. This was amazing. And I'm standing up, and I'm pointing, send another man! Give him help!
Why do you want him to give help?
Because if I'm
no,
the
you
piston...
Wanted it. No. But hold on. I need to... Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, time out.
30 second right here.
Think Tom Thibodeau
right.
doesn't want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You're saying this like you're rooting for the Pistons.
Well, I am rooting for the Pistons.
Why are you rooting for the Pistons?
Because I'm a hater. So I'm watching this.
You just wanted a game 7.
And I'm screaming at JB, double him! As soon as Jalen Brunson, with that sickening, disgusting crossover, put Asar on skates, that moment where Jalen was set up for the open three, and I want everyone to be honest about what they thought in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
My thought in that moment was, bleep, 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 bleep. Because I knew what you knew.
Right, buckets.
Jalen Brunson was not missing that shot.
Because he had made so many contested, unbelievable step-back threes already in the game.
He wasn't missing that one.
He just knew he wasn't missing. And that was essentially what they would deem wide-ass open.
Wide-ass open because
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Jalen Brunson created such an incredible crossover against Tassar Thompson that this all-world defender, a guy who will eventually, he's only been in the league for 2 years, missed a lot of time to injury last year, we know how good his brother is, eventually is going to be regarded as one of the better defensive players in the league.
Right.
So we'll know him in a different vein 5 years from now. Jalen Brunson embarrassed his ass.
Right.
And that two-second moment, to me, lasted 30 minutes. Because I'm staring at it saying, oh my God. And we all knew it was going down. We all knew it was going to be nothing but the bottom of the freaking net. So tell me.
Yeah.
As Jalen is standing there after he puts Tassar on skates, give me what's going through the tiki brain.
Through the tiki brain? Well, we know what immediately happened. This is before you get the tiki brain thing. Is you started getting Brian Russell comparisons
I
with
know.
Michael
Jordan. The Jordan Russell thing. I get it.
And you know what I said?
What?
Michael cheated. Jalen didn't.
I think Jalen may have pushed off, too.
No, he didn't.
I'm just kidding.
No, he didn't. He just let him follow his arm. He's like, all right, you want to go follow that arm? Ball's coming back this way. See ya. The first thing I'm thinking is there's too much time. That's the first thing I thought.
I'm glad you said that because a lot.
Too much time.
A lot of people brought that up, and my defense of the king would be when you create a look like that.
Right.
You can't get cute.
No, I agree. I agree.
Hit the shot.
Right. It's not like you're going to let him come back over. All right. There's 3 seconds left. All right. Now I'm going to step back and take a contested shot. You got to take the open one.
Right.
I get it. But my first thought was, damn clock, 3.2. Oh, that's too much time.
So in that moment, you're thinking too much time.
Too much time. And by the way, I was right.
Well, to a degree, yeah. More on that in a second.
I was dead right.
No, you're right. There was too much time. Tommy, as Jalen Brunson, who, again, did not have a great fourth quarter. That's the beauty of Jalen Brunson. As he creates the separation, and he's standing there, about to take this open three that you'll remember forever, what's going through that little brain of yours?
As Mariano Brunson crossed over. And to me, what I love about it, being a professional wrestling fan, when the Detroit Piston fans are chanting flopper, which I give him credit for. Original.
Amen.
I appreciate
it. As opposed to being vulgar.
But here's the problem. And I told Sean this yesterday. Lesson here. You come at the king, you better not miss. And the king didn't miss. To drain that three, much like Hart did last year in Philadelphia. Mm. And a part of me was like, you know what? Evan's wife is a nice lady. She puts up with Evan. But screw her. We should have been in Detroit for that. Oh, that's sports nirvana.
Honey, I want to thank you again for not allowing us to go to Detroit because that would have been painful. But you're right. Jalen Brunson, since he's walked through that door, has been a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a great player. And we've had this inane discussion on this radio station. Is he a superstar? What he became last night, and I get it's the first round. I get it. I know that's the hater. It's the first round. We're calling him a legend. Let's understand the moment. Let's appreciate what he was able to do. But what Jalen did in this series and what he did last night is he went from being just a superstar to a badass.
Yeah.
Because the real superstars in this sport not only play with high expectations, they play with hate. They play with fan bases despising them. And throughout this series, and it's a credit to the Piston fan, they have treated Jalen Brunson like he is evil.
Right.
Like he is Michael Jordan, chanting flopper as they were reviewing that play with about 5 minutes to go, which did get overturned. And he responded. And he not only responded, Teague, from the crowd and the chants. Again, this is really important. He responded from a dreadful fourth quarter. He was not great in the fourth quarter.
What did he take, 16 shots?
14 shots.
14 shots in the fourth quarter. But here's the thing that the Piston fan didn't realize that they were doing. By being so vocal and adamant against him, the best player on the other team, you essentially were making him a star.
Mm.
You were because of the constant fixation on him, you made him, you justified his stardom. And so it doesn't matter what people say, star, superstar, he's the guy you hate on the other team. And when you hate the guy on the other team because he's beating you, that makes him a star.
What?
He's living in your head. And he will live in Piston fans' heads for the entire offseason and probably into next season.
Oh, no doubt. That's one thing. Like, the Knicks story isn't over yet. There's more to this season, and there's more to next year and the year after that. There's a chance that when we're writing the history books about Jalen Brunson and Sean Morash is doing a Cinco de Five-O reminiscing on Jalen Brunson's career, there's a chance that this shot is, you know, number five. Or maybe it's not even in the top five, especially if this team goes on to win an NBA championship at some point.
It's a big one, though.
But it's a big one. But I can guarantee you this, and you hit on it. You know where it stands in Detroit modern sports history? Pretty damn high. Because the Piston fan up seven with 2.5 minutes to go, or in your case, down seven with 2.5 minutes to go, they had it. They had the game won.
Right.
The story on today's radio station would have been far different. We would have been talking about Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yep.
We would have been talking about Brunson's struggles. We would have been talking about a million other reasons why Loogie and I are going to sit through a game seven at Madison Square Garden.
The last play not fouling up three.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't go through Beasley's hands, he ties the game. They lose an overtime.
I'm going to get to that in a few minutes because there's a lot on that play that we will address. But instead, Jalen Brunson changed the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that would have been the negative of losing game six got changed because this guy in the moment stepped up when he had to. And it wasn't just the three. How about Jalen Brunson underneath the basket, slipping and falling and putting that layup
in? How the hell did he even keep his dribble? Schroeder had no idea. Schroeder just gave up on the play. Like, all right, that ball's mine. That's going the other way.
Incredible.
It was unbelievable. And then he deked him before he left. Like, that was an unbelievable play, and the level of difficulty, I think, is not expressed enough.
Especially as he's falling to the ground.
Yes, like he's about to sit down. Like, his ass is about to fall onto the court. And he keeps dribbling, steps out of it, has a presence of mind to know where he is. And it's like he's ambidextrous, by the way. When he goes up, it doesn't matter what side of the rim he's on. He's getting the kiss and going in exactly how he wants it, regardless of what side of the basket he's on.
So he recovered from this bad fourth quarter, but it wasn't just him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make everybody feel better right now because I don't know if anybody looks at it this way. I'm going to look at it this way for you. I think a putback down by two with 35 seconds to go in a game six, to me, that's worth at minimum two first-round picks.
Mm, wow.
So you're almost there.
Two?
You almost got to the five.
Okay, you throw in a dunk, we got another two. So we're almost there.
You're almost there.
I
like,
mean,
ask yourself
by the way,
that.
A nasty posterizing dunk. We didn't even have the ball in his hand.
You know,
it wasn't in his hand.
The nasty.
It was like resting on his wrist.
I think
he still dunked it. Over Cade Cunningham.
I would say the nasty posterizing dunk is worth a pick swap. Mm. I would go with that. Or maybe this year's second.
Give me at least a pick.
But honestly.
Give me at least a pick.
If Mikal Bridges.
At least a pick.
I'm not giving you a pick. I'm not giving you any more than I'm already
nasty,
giving you.
Nasty, bro.
I'm not doing it.
But I will remember it.
They'll remember it, but they lose this game.
It was over Cade Cunningham.
All right. It's just a highlight.
Give me the pick.
I want the putback on the Jalen Brunson miss.
Give me the pick. We already did that one. That's two picks.
I'll give you the Milwaukee pick. Is that fair?
Perfect.
All right. So we've accomplished three picks based on Bridges' Game 6 performance because here's the honest truth. If Mikal Bridges doesn't tip in the Jalen Brunson miss to tie the game with 35 seconds to go, the Knicks lose this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if the Knicks lose this game, they're playing a game seven at Madison Square Garden. Who the hell knows? So when we're looking at all you gave up for Bridges, I think that tip-in's worth at least two.
I mean,
and you want the dunk to be worth a pick swap or the Milwaukee pick. You've almost made the trade worth it.
That's right.
You're on your way.
All that matters is what you do in the postseason.
You're right.
Right? You trade for Mookie Betts, and all you got to do is win a championship to justify it. And guess what? They've won two.
Absolutely. So I think you're halfway.
Talking about the Dodgers, of course.
I think we figured that one out.
I mean, people are on basketball mind right now. What the hell are you talking about Mookie Betts for?
I do have the best record in the National League now that the Mets have been tripped up a little bit. So Mikal Bridges is tipping, worth two first-round picks. Jalen Brunson being the man, he's worth everything. And he's the reason why the New York Knicks survive. Mm. And eventually, as this show rolls on, we will mention the C-word. But for now, let's not use that inappropriate word known as the Celtics. Let's think about the moment. And the moment is the Knicks have advanced.
Hmm.
We'll get to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And not just your calls, we're going to have a little competition. We are going to let you listen to both Ian Eagle's Jalen Brunson call, Mike Breen's Jalen Brunson call, and have a little friendly competition on who did it better. Because I think they were both all-time classics. We'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, the huge break that Tom Thibodeau caught that may have won them the game last night. What a basketball game. And you'll probably remember what you were doing and how you were feeling watching that classic. I'll tell you this, Teak. I got home. I'm watching the Knicks kick ass for the first quarter. I'm not thrilled about the situation. And I have been told by my wife that my dog Dudley had a poo situation that needed to be cleaned up immediately.
Oh,
and I don't want to DVR a Knicks playoff game. I want to watch it live.
Right.
So I took my iPad into the bathroom, and the Pistons run kind of happened while I was going in cleaning that mess.
So Dudley went to the bathroom to make his mess?
Do you really want me to break this down for you?
Well, no, I think we do, but I also just want to reiterate, your dog knows to go to the bathroom and make his mess, but you do it in the living room.
It was one time. So, yeah, no, he kind of had it stuck. So I had to, as a good dad.
You took him into the bathroom.
I took him into the bathroom to clean him, which involved, you know, kind of pulling it out.
Ugh,
and as
gross.
That was happening,
oh, man,
the Pistons were having an incredible second quarter. And I'm like, damn, I don't want to stop doing this.
What in the hell are you feeding your dog?
Well, more importantly, I hope Abuelo's not feeding you dingleberry pie tonight.
But I'll tell you, this was one of those games. I know it's the first round of the playoffs, and the Knicks are making the first round of the playoffs. Old hat over the last couple of years. But from beginning to end, from the roller coaster ride of having an early lead to blowing that lead to coming out on fire in the third quarter, was one of the last things we talked about yesterday was how they had been beaten in every third quarter in this series.
Yep.
And they needed to respond. And Mikal Bridges made that joke about, maybe we got to do a layup line. And then they come out and they do a layup line in the third quarter and they get off to a great start. And now Campaign even joked after the game, they're calling him Layup Line Kel.
Hey.
For that idea.
Whatever.
Whatever works. But then you have blowing
the
lead.
Make the bunnies.
You've got the massive run where it's a 20-2 run. The Pistons went on a 20-2 run to take a 7-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go.
Wow.
And then the response. It really was on every level. Just an incredible, incredible basketball game.
No, it was. And I think the best part about it, from the Knicks side, is that they never fold, right? They always make it dramatic, and it makes you hate them at times. It makes you question their coach at times. It makes you question the toughness of Cat and others. The decision making by Brunson when he doesn't give it up and plays ISO basketball all the time. But they always seem to be right in it. Last year was the same way, and if there is one like positive identity you can identify with this team, it's that, right? They always fight, even if they're not doing the right things, if they're fighting badly or what, they always will fight. And that's a good thing for this team. And it's a good thing for the coach, even though if he had lost this series, we still would have been calling for his job.
Yes. If things don't play out differently in the final 2.5 minutes of the fourth quarter, everything's different.
Fight is only good enough when it's a cute story. Until you win something, it becomes an annoying story after a while.
We will hear the Iron Eagle call on TNT. We will hear the Mike Breen call on MSG, and we will vote on which call was better. We'll do that in 10 minutes, but let's get to your reaction. Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Islip Terrace. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Evan?
What's up, man?
I watched that game last night. It reminded me of, like, the 80s Eastern Conference. It was like a hockey game.
Mm.
Great, great physicality. But I'll tell you, Towns, he looks clumsy to me.
Yeah.
And then why they didn't double Brunson? Why didn't they double Brunson at the end? The whole world knew he was getting the ball.
I don't know. That's the one thing, and I'm sure they're talking about that on Detroit Sports Talk Radio, but it kind of reminds me. I know we've linked Jalen Brunson and Aaron Judge together a lot with the whole King of New York. And it confounds me watching pitchers go after Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Because I know, like we know, like we all know, why would you face this guy?
He's hitting
427. Right. You would almost say, I'm going to put him on base. I'll let someone else beat me. And in the final seconds of this game last night, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I know Mikal Bridges played really well, and OG Anunoby played really well, but force Jalen Brunson to, A, not turn the ball over when I send a double, and force someone else to beat me. And they never did that. As far as Towns is concerned, he is confounding to watch because there are times where you watch him and you see a beast and you see a guy that can make a difference. And in the second half of this game, that was a disappearing act. And that was one of those things we would be talking a lot more about if the Knicks didn't survive.
I mean, I'm sure there's a simple excuse. Fatigue. I don't know. Maybe he's lingering injury. Something. But you're right. It would have been unacceptable if they had lost this game.
Let's go to Rob in Edison, New Jersey. Rob.
So, Evan, we always thought that your observations on the Knicks were a dog poo, and now it's literally true.
You're right.
It became true. It's literal. No, but seriously, can you just do us one favor, please? When you refer to you watching Knicks games, never say you're an IBO, because you're not an IBO. You're a hater. There's a difference. You could be a big fan of a team. Mm. You could be a hater, or you could be someone who's unbiased. But you're totally biased. So please never, ever say you're an IBO.
Well,
I want the show to vote on that.
I would retort.
Everyone should vote on that
right
now.
Hold on. They will vote. I mean, that's okay. You basically took over and demanded a vote, and that's fine. What I would ask you is this.
It's an easy vote.
Because you're partially right, Rob. Like, I am a hater, and I admit that.
Let's go Knicks.
And I would think you'd appreciate that I don't lie about that. But what have I said, at least today, maybe there's something yesterday, what have I said today that hasn't been IBO worthy? You tell me.
I'll tell you exactly what you said that wasn't IBO worthy.
Go ahead.
You said that you're an independent basketball observer when you're totally biased.
No, but that, you're going back to the words. I'm talking about the actual analysis of anything I said. And that's my only question to you, because I think you can do two things at once. You can be a hater, which I readily admit. National media won't admit that to you when they secretly hate the Knicks. I tell you how it is.
They definitely do.
But there's nothing I've said.
I don't think there's anything that you've said specifically, Evan. I don't think we could go through transcripts line by line like the CIA or FBI trying to find data on what Evan really means and find you being a hater. But because we know you,
right,
we know your tone. And your tone tells us that you're trolling.
No, there's nothing to troll.
There's that smile that we can see.
How can I troll the Knicks
come
one?
4 o'clock on SNY, you can see. But you can even sometimes hear if you're just listening.
Well, give me an example from the first 35
right
minutes.
Right now.
What about right now?
Right now.
I didn't win last night. You guys won last
and
night.
You're like, give this sly, wry smile.
Nah. Because here's where you're wrong.
You guys won. But you know who's waiting.
No, here's why you're wrong.
That team that shall not be named.
Here's
why. Voldemort or something.
Here's why you're wrong, with all due respect. Because I can relate as a sports fan to not enjoying the moment and looking ahead.
Did you enjoy the moment?
If I was a Knicks fan last night?
No.
Just in general?
Just you in general.
I don't understand the question.
You're
like, last night?
You're a New Yorker.
No, I hated the moment.
Jalen Brunson did something that you're not going to see very many people do. Forget what team.
No.
You're not going to see that.
Yes.
You didn't enjoy that?
No.
Even teams.
No.
I think I can't relate to you because even teams that I hate, if someone goes and does something stupid, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Well, I respect the hell out of it. That's why I've said everything I've said about Jalen Brunson being the king of the city. I respect the hell out of it. I give him all the credit, but in terms of enjoying it, this isn't about me in that regard. What I'm saying is, when I've seen my teams win, what's unhealthy to do is immediately think about what's next. Like, you need to have a moment to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important, if you're a Knicks fan, to not go overanalyze the matchup issues the C-word team gives you, because that's for later in the show or it's for Monday. Like, you should be able to sit back and say, hey, we won a classic against the Pistons. We advanced to the second round for the third straight year. That's cool. And I have failed at doing that as a sports fan in my life, but I want to learn from that. Now, I don't get many opportunities, obviously.
How about learning as a friend? You would consider me and you were friends, right? Mm-hmm. So I should enjoy that Knick victory
you
last
should.
Night.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So at 10:30 last night on social media, Evan sicked his goons on me by tweeting out, never doubt the king, and there's a picture of my tweet, Jalen Brunson is a good player, he's not great, this would be typical Knicks, never ends. So instead of basking in the glory of a Knicks win for me, I have to fight off these minions of Evan because he's bringing up something I tweeted out in 2022 when Jalen Brunson was, in fact, a good player, not a great player.
So then,
now, if you happened to be at the Barclays Center earlier this year, then you would have got a shirt that said exactly that.
So, I'll make the fight then with you and any other Knicks fan who is bashing Jalen for being too selfish a week ago. Where's that energy today? He was selfish in the fourth quarter. The difference was he bailed your asses out. I have been loyal. I have been a loyal subject to Jalen Brunson. None of you guys have, because all you guys turned on him and said, well, look at
his usage percentage.
I never turned on him.
Exactly.
I think we can criticize him without turning on him.
And what did you criticize him for again? I forgot. Why don't you explain it to me again?
Well, it was game two.
Because he was too selfish, right?
No.
He took too many shots?
He would just take the contested shot as opposed to the right, making the right decision. He'd take the contested shot instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he dominated the basketball in the fourth quarter last night. You guys know that,
Don't make me feed this to Sean and write this down on a piece of paper. Don't make me do this. The couple possessions before that game winner, he took some bad shots. He had some bad possessions. If we're being completely and utterly fair today, as an IBO.
No, but Tommy, that's my point. Like, that doesn't prove me wrong. It's just that they won and it worked at the end.
Absolutely.
And now he's lauded as a legend.
But nobody turned on him.
No, you
you're,
guys
you're painting this narrative.
Tommy, you,
you guys.
Right.
Who's you guys?
Knick fans who
name
criticize
somebody.
You.
I didn't.
CP, who will join us later. I'll call him out on it. You guys criticized his style of play when his style of play is what you're lauding
today.
We
pointed out that he was part of the blame, Teak, for a couple of the losses and the chemistry. That's it.
Yes.
Instead of just dumping on Cat, easy target. Instead of dumping on Bridges, easy target.
But
or Tibbs, easy target.
But guys, the same thing happened last night. The difference was he made those last few shots and they won.
Yeah, okay. But if you have success, then it doesn't matter the means.
So you don't like the style when they lose, but you love the style when they win. Okay. That's right.
If it works,
okay,
by all means.
Because his usage percentage was higher last night than it was in the game you were criticizing.
Isaac, if you're shooting from the hip and knocking them down, shoot from the hip.
I got you.
All right? If you're going to take... No. Okay, great. Great job. Hey, Pat Mahomes. Oh, don't throw that thing behind your back. Oh, wait, you completed it. Good job, Pat.
Yeah, except
like that's what we're talking about.
And what I said was, I still trust Jalen Brunson more than anyone on this team. So while you guys were critical of his style of play a few games ago, I backed him up because I said he's the guy to trust.
That's because they lost.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. It's not like his style changed.
The only thing we care about is winning.
Yes.
Winning.
Yes.
If you do it ugly, fine.
Okay. At least you're just admitting that.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
We're not hiding from that.
All right, let's listen to these calls because this was some scintillating stuff. We were very lucky last night. You had the national version, which featured Ian Eagle. And I'm biased towards Ian, but he is one of the great announcers we've ever been blessed to have. And then, of course, you have Mike Breen.
Right.
And I think these calls are so freaking awesome that we're going to play both of them, and I want all you guys to tell me who did it better. And doesn't mean it's a knock on the other broadcast. We get it. Clyde and Breen are great. Ian's great. Everybody's great. All right? Mm-hmm. We're kissing everyone's ass. Which one was better? Let's start with Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier last night. Tie game. Ball in the hands of the King of New York
City. Down to 12 seconds. Brunson holding. Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
But that's an eternity is still remaining. So the Pistons know they can regroup. They have ample time to get off a shot. But the clutch player of the year showing you why with that play.
Captain Crunch Time does it again.
Watch Thompson stumbles, and Brunson humbles him, yeah, with the three ball.
40 points for Jalen Brunson.
This is such an amazing call, and it features so many incredible things.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the double bang. A double bang.
The double bang, quickly.
A quick double bang followed by Clyde.
Going right to
bang! 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 Going right to your point about there's too much time.
I think maybe that's why I thought about it.
Clyde put it in your head.
Yes.
Clyde, I love this man. Did not waste any time going right into.
But it was like simultaneous. I was thinking the same thing. I looked right at the clock. I'm like, damn it. That's a lot of time.
The reason why I would not mind that, again, IBO comment, is because I'm up by three. And so my worst case scenario is somehow they get a shot off because I'm probably going to foul. And the worst case scenario is it's a tie game.
Right.
If you had a two with 4 seconds to go, I feel very different.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you. That extra point makes a world of difference. So I didn't have that same panic. Then you've got Breen whipping out the Captain Crunch Time, followed by what a line by Clyde. Can you play that one more time? The way he described Thompson's little stumble?
Stumbles. And Brunson humbles him.
Oh, what a rhyme off the cuff. Stumbles and Brunson humbles. Bro, that's a t-shirt.
That's great.
Is that? Would you not buy a T-shirt of Thompson on the ground,
perfect,
Brunson in his shooting motion, and it says "Stumbles and Brunson Humbles"?
Mm-hmm. I would buy five of them and then charge our company.
Yeah, that's right. Has anyone produced that shirt yet? Has Barstool done it yet? Has anyone done
it yet? Yeah, maybe CP. I don't know.
CP should do it. Yes. All right. So that's a great call. We all agree.
Yeah.
You ready to hear the competition?
Let's hear it,
ladies and gentlemen. Iron Eagle.
Brunson takes a peek at the clock. Thompson digging in defensively. 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime. Launches. Oh, yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it. Knicks lead by 3. The Brunson burner ignited.
I got to tell you guys, I'm sorry. I think Ian has it. The Brunson burner. Oh, yeah.
Who's his analyst?
Grant Hill was with him. I think it was Grant Hill, right?
Yeah, because he was a Piston. Yes.
Is that why they did it?
No.
Well, it's always Reggie when they play the Pacers. Yeah, it's Grant when they play the Pistons.
Yeah.
He was surprisingly silent.
He let the... Well, are you getting on Clyde? Are you saying Clyde jumped all over Breen?
No, I like that.
Oh, okay.
I like the instant analysis by the guy who's there to analyze the game.
Yeah, I think Grant was leaning back and letting Ian be the star. Mm. I think he was saying, this is Ian's show. Say your crazy stuff. You the man. I loved Ian's call.
Yeah, it was great. The Brunson burner.
So if you had to pick a winner in our little, which was, who called it better? Who are we giving the edge to?
Neither.
What do you mean neither?
Not picking winners. They were both equally grand.
Come on, Teague.
Oh, my God.
You're calling a tie?
I happen to like both of these men.
It's not about, I love both of these men too, honestly.
And I liked both of their calls.
Honestly, Ian Eagle and Mike Breen, and I think they know this, not that they care what I think. Maybe Ian does, Breen doesn't care. I think these are two of the most brilliant broadcasters we have ever heard. Like, they are, if I'm ranking all-time broadcasters, they may be 1-2. Like, they are utterly brilliant. This is, well, you were gone a few weeks ago. The Mets won a big game, and I did this to Sean with Howie Rose versus Gary Cohen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, they're both brilliant broadcasters. Who called it better?
Right.
So it's not picking between the two. It's just the moment.
I would like to say something here. I think it's very notable. Tiki refuses to choose between Mike Breen and Ian Eagle, loves both of them. But when given the opportunity to ask who he would choose to ride with to Detroit, he didn't hesitate to say me over Tommy.
Oh, yeah!
He didn't say I'm not choosing either.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah!
That's a great point.
But this one, he's sitting out.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, who do you prefer, Ian Eagle? Actually, I'm saving you. Tommy, Ian Eagle, or Mike Breen?
My answer is complicated. So if you just compared Bird's call to Breen's, Ian had the better call.
Wow.
However, and Tiki brought it up, when you combine Clyde's shtick along with the analysis, Breen and Clyde had the better call in totality. So I guess 2-1-1, I would give it to Breen and Clyde. But so, Bird's call was electric.
So if I edited it the way most people would edit this, like during our updates, you're not going to hear the whole thing. You're just going to hear a part of it. You would have actually given the edge to Ian because it wouldn't have included the Clyde stuff.
I would.
That's fair. That's fair analysis.
Right. It's funny because I think if you had played them in reverse order, so if you'd done Ian first, I wouldn't have noticed or been bothered by the lack of the analyst.
Oh, yeah!
Damn it, I screwed this up then. because it's, I feel like Breen and Clyde sound full.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
They're a tag team.
It sounds like what it should have been.
Yeah, I think in that case, like...
Right, it's just, like, I get the importance of dead air and broadcast, you know, broadcasting sporting events. But you miss something when it's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying.
So
I think in the case of Breen and Clyde, they've worked together for 100%. A million years. They've done thousands of games together.
That's why I asked who the analyst was for Ian.
And Ian's worked with Grant, but not nearly as much as Breen has worked with Clyde. I mean, that's... That's a twosome right there. When you think of great twosomes in New York sports, Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier are there. How about you, Sean?
I mean, all sports.
Yeah, you're right.
New York sports.
No, you're right.
I think it's a very good way to look at it. Obviously, both were awesome. What is the thing that would put Ian over the edge, right? The Brunson burner, right? We all love that. Why do we love it? Oh, I'd never heard that before. That's awesome. I'm not punishing Breen because it's the 500th time I've heard a double bang. If that was the first time you had ever heard a double bang, would this be a contest or would you say, it's Breen, that was unbelievable? So I'm going Breen. I think anytime you break back out the double bang, he's not getting punished because you've heard it a bunch.
The double bang, in fairness, is still unique. Like, I would say the double bang is like hitting for the cycle. It's happened. We've all seen it a bunch of times.
I think we've had 3 over the last year.
Okay.
Dante last year won in the regular season, and now his problem is he's a...
That's still rare, though, Tommy.
He's a victim of the triple bang. Well, and he can't bust that, but that's to Sean's point. He can't... Now that you've done the double bang, the next step is the triple bang, but you can't bust out that triple bang now, until Mike the game Breen, winner in the finals. Right.
Mike Breen did confirm earlier this year when asked about this from Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart on their podcast, would you ever whip out a triple bang? He said he would do it in a game-winning shot situation for the Knicks in the NBA Finals, which means, obviously, unfortunately,
this moment
in the finals. That's what he said.
Yeah. If this moment happened in an NBA Finals game, he said he would do it. So that's not something we may see.
Okay, you didn't have to add that.
Well,
you didn't
have to add that. I don't know if we're
going to see
it.
You didn't have to add that part.
See?
If you're going to be an IBO, don't add that.
We were just asking for an example of Evan being a hater.
Yes.
Yeah.
There it was.
And he wanted to make sure nobody else said the C word today, which we're still not doing, but made sure to say it in a way without saying it in that way.
That's a good point.
The C word he's referring to, of course, is the Celtics. That's the curse word that will not be uttered in any kind of serious tone until later on, because right now, you guys need to enjoy this. Let's go to Mickey in Walcott, Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call at Tiki. And I got to say this. I said Tiki because I got a question for Tiki,
what's
if you
up?
Don't mind real quick. On a serious note, would you happen to have the Pistons head coach maybe phone number or something? You know, us as Knicks fans, I think we all collectively would like to send possibly a get well card or something. Maybe we can all sign it. Because when you get your legs broken like that by Brunson, I'm sorry. Maybe you in surgery right now. Maybe you need a transplant or new legs or something.
You're gonna live on highlight reels for the rest of eternity. Absolutely. Yeah, that was a rough one.
Evan, real quick, I did want to say on another note, I love seeing you and Tiki on SNY like a week or two ago when y'all guys were at City Field. That was amazing.
I
just wanted to say that real quick.
Thank you, man.
I just wanted to joke with you guys because that game, the way it ended was amazing. I loved it. And yeah, we definitely got him some get well soon.
It is a tough spot for Asar Thompson because
I feel bad for him, honestly. Especially because it's like the look on his face. He was like, "Oh, I'm screwed."
Well, because
like, he knew it.
Everything he gave in this series, which I would say defensively, he gave it his all.
Definitely,
and he played mostly well in a very tough spot. It's all forgotten in a moment. It's all forgotten in a moment.
Yeah.
Like, this series featured so much over six games. And yet, what we're all going to remember here in New York, and I'm sure what they're going to remember in Detroit, isn't even the quote-unquote missed call from Game 4 or even the non-timeout from Tom Thibodeau in Game 5. It is going to be Jalen Brunson destroying the legs of this poor man.
Oh, yeah!
And that sucks because Asar Thompson's a hell of a defensive player. And in that moment, he got absolutely destroyed.
Bang! Bang!
We'll get to the final play on the other end coming up, as well as the huge break that Tom Thibodeau caught in this game late. Plus more of your reaction at 888-808-1019.